Feel like you're stumbling around in the dark when it comes to your relationship with Christ? Then I would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we go to God's Word for focus and direction. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is next. Join us. Hello. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden, located at 8650 Benson Road. We would invite you to join us as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, refers us back to God's Word once again that we might find our grounding in Christ, our encouragement, and our strength to go on day by day in Him. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, we thank you for tuning in to Abounding Grace today. We're continuing in our study of Psalm 51, and we saw yesterday how David was brutally honest before the Lord about his sin. And of course, the Lord had confronted him through Nathan the prophet with this great sin he committed, committing adultery with Bathsheba, and of course, having her husband murdered. It was a terrible sin. The law of Moses had made no provision for forgiveness. So Psalm 51 is a painful cry, a cry asking the Lord to wash him and appealing to his mercy, since God had declared himself as a merciful God. And we looked at yesterday that in verse 4, he makes this great statement: against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. We said yesterday the greatest element of genuine, sincere confession is that I so see things the way that God has defined them about my own heart and about my own life, and that I have come to the place to be able to say, Lord, if you were to cast me into your hell, to the place where the worm dieth not, I fully agree that you would be just and blameless if you did it. That is a test. Are we prepared to agree to that? Lord, here's the cry. It's inspired. This is given by the Lord through the servant David. Lord, here's David's cry. I so see my life that if you were to consign me to hell, you would be just. How do you come to that kind of confession? You've got to have your conscience opened about the reality of your life. And I'm saying today, you can't get there unless God opens this for you, because this is why we know the word's inspired too, by the way. No sinner would ever say this about himself. This is something God has to work in us by his Spirit. In fact, there will be anger in even this whole message this week, being open about sin, transgression, and confronting sin in our life and confessing this way. There will be anger about all this, because we still have not seen things the way that God has defined them. The only way that kind of anger and willingness to be open about our lives is when we're in full agreement and have seen the way and understood and believed things the way that God has defined them for us in His Word. The child of God who knows his own heart can say this with full confidence. David raises this. It's not just about my personal sins, Lord. He gives another element to true confession. The issue is that I have to come to deal with is that all of us have this predicament, or have to deal with, is that all of us are in this predicament from birth, from conception. Listen to Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you make me to know wisdom. Did you hear what he just said? We talk about, in the evangelical world, this age of accountability, as if there's some sort of point at which we're then accountable for our sin. David didn't see it that way. David confesses here, this is something I was brought forth in. In sin my mother conceived me, and the wages of sin is death, and we are exposed to death from the earliest age to the latest. The very things that I do now, says, are only complementing, says David, the true reality that this is something I have from conception. And this is not the way you made it, O Lord, because you desire truth within. But David is here confessing, my heart is deceitful above all things. Do you hear the elements of true confession? I say this is rare today, because we do everything we can, even in the church, to fight against this kind of confession so that we don't even want to preach this. But listen, here's the elements of true confession. I'm aware of my sin. I know what I deserve and that this is part of my nature from conception. It's all out on the table. Here I am, Lord. And this is what makes the appeal to mercy so powerful. What does David ask of the Lord at this point? Now that the confession is on the table, his life is open and naked and exposed, and he is transparent about it. He's not hiding it. He's dealing with it. Well, what do we need? In other words, when evaluating my life, do I see and say, well, I'm measuring up and I'm doing pretty good. I'm keeping the law this week. Nathan said to David, the Lord has put away your sin. David had to have given a lot of thought to that because the law said you're done. But God had just put away his sin. How could God just put away the sin if God's a righteous God? Well, verse 7 of Psalm 51 tells us what David understood. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness that the bones you've broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Purge me, he says. It means cleanse. We could put it this way, de-sin me. He uses the word hyssop. Hyssop was that small plant that would often grow between the stone walls of the structures back then. They would take that plant and use it as a brush. When the Jews were leaving Egypt on the night of the Passover, they dipped hyssop in blood and sprinkled it on the door frames of the houses so that the angel of death would pass over. It was sprinkled on the ark. It was Moses would sprinkle the people. You understand what David is saying. I need purging with blood. And there's only one blood that will satisfy and propitiate a holy God, and it's the blood of his son. And here's where we see what David understood, that with man it is impossible to make remedy for what he has done. With man it is impossible. God is angry with the sins we're born with, as well as the sins that we personally commit. But with the blood of Jesus, I can be washed whiter than snow. And David is saying, make me hear that message and I will have joy and gladness, that the sorrow and guilt would be turned to joy. He cries out that God would hide his face from his sins and blot out his iniquities. And he knows he can have such joy and assurance that God will do this because that hyssop that has blood on it, that is being sprinkled on him, has the blood of God's only begotten son. Next, he asks for what? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. The word for create in Hebrew is the same word that God used at creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the greatest act of God's power is to create within the dead sinner from these stony hearts, new hearts. That is the thing that Ezekiel prophesied in Ezekiel 36. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put my spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. David is praying this after his horrid sin of adultery and murder. Purge me. Create a clean heart. Never cast me away. Never take your spirit. What was he saying? That the spirit just leaves us? No, no. We can quench him, of course. He was petitioning, though, that God would uphold him, that God would keep him, because he can't do it himself. And I would say that's the identifying mark that you really want to be delivered from your sinful life and your sin, that you say to God, never depart from me so as to always be intimately involved with me, that you never let me run. You know what you're asking. You're asking for him to do whatever it takes to keep you. That's a bold prayer, isn't it? But David asks it. Not only does he petition God for it, but he says in verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit. Restore the joy. Sin attacks joy, and that's the reality. Our sinful lives remove the joy. It's not having to confess it that makes us joyless people. It's our own sin that makes us joyless. And for some reason, we're drastically deficient here. For some horrid reason, I see doubt in supposed Christians, uncertainty, and overwhelming lack of joy when we should be the most joyful people on earth. Sin alienates us from God. But when we cry out to Him, seeking for forgiveness, asking for purging, the creating power of a new heart, what comes with that is a restoration of joy in understanding that I am forgiven because of what Christ did on the cross, and that His generous spirit is given to uphold me and seal me for the day of redemption. What joy and happiness should fill our hearts. This is not a wishful sort of prayer. God promises this. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is something that is characteristic. Don't let any Bible teacher out there tell you, you shouldn't be asking for forgiveness and confessing your sins. That is a denial. We have to be daily dependent upon this Christ. God calls us to this. David knows this, that such grace demands response, and so he makes a promise. In doing this for me, Lord, I will teach others who have transgressed your ways. I will teach them in the way they should go so that they would be converted to you. I will sing aloud of your righteousness. The kind of heart you desire is not bringing bulls and sacrifices. It's a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. These are the kind of hearts the Lord loves. Does this describe you? Well, Jesus is saying today, in coming to Him with this kind of broken and contrite heart, not denying your sin, but fully confessing it, fully looking to Him for deliverance, He says today to you, all who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Dear sinner, come to Christ.
Exercising our minds, hearts, and affections towards Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden, studying God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. Thank you for joining us. As always, we leave you with our address and phone number if you'd like to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the broadcast. Maybe you'd like to join us for worship or a prayer request. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Again, that phone number is 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about us, you can visit our website. A lot of information there, lindenurc.com. Again, that's lindenurc.com. As always, you're welcome to write, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, that phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you're planning a visit, we would love to see you. In fact, let one of the ushers know you're invited by the radio broadcast, won't you? That would encourage us a great deal. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. We're at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. For the directions, you can either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or call us 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. Our desire here at Abounding Grace is that you grow in Christ. If there's anything we can do to help you in that endeavor, please feel free to contact us. And then join us again next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.